Well, this evening we're going to do metta meditation for the neutral person, the next stage of metta meditation. And so far we've developed loving kindness for oneself, and we've developed loving kindness for a loved person. Moving to the neutral person in terms of the details of the practice is very simple. Basically, it's exactly the same as for the loved one. And the only difference is that we introduce the name of the neutral person into the words of metta. So the same rules apply as before. We don't take our mind outside our body. We don't go over there to think about that person or anything like that. We keep our mindfulness grounded inside the body. Just bring in the name of metta, the name of that person into the words of metta. And there are a couple of things to bear in mind when coming to this stage in practice. Normally, what you tend to find is that with metta for the loved person and metta for oneself, that there is usually quite a lot of energy for that. Right? We care about ourselves. We care about our loved one. And so it's natural that we have an interest in doing metta for them. But when it comes to the neutral person, we don't care about them. That's kind of the whole point. And so normally it's a bit difficult for us to get the energy to do this. And this is a really critical juncture, not just in our meditation, but in our moral development as well. Because what we're saying when we do this part of metta practice is that we're saying that our metta is not just for ourselves, it's not just for that small circle of a few people that we know and love, but all the other 7+ billion people in the world, we love them as well. And even people we don't know, people we've never met, all those people we love. And not to mention all of the animals and all the other sentient beings and unseen beings and all of that stuff. So the most beings in the cosmos are all included in this category of being neutral. We don't have too much of a feeling, normally, one way or the other for them. So this is a major step in terms of moral development. And because it requires a substantially greater investment of psychic energy to realize this stage. So what tends to happen is that when we reach the neutral person, often we find that our energy tends to dissipate and that our interest tends to wane, and the happiness and the joy that we were experiencing previously fade away, and we come back and the mind falls into a neutral, sometimes dull state. Right? So this is the trap that we encounter at this stage in meditation. And sometimes that dull state is quite nice. I mean, it's quite peaceful. And it's quite tempting to just kind of stay there and just enjoy that neutrality. But you have to bear in mind, keep your mindfulness there, that that's not what metta meditation is about. Metta meditation is about experiencing that joy. And if you're not experiencing the joy, it's not metta. So, we develop meditation for oneself, for a loved one, and normally we should only do this when we have really developed that feeling of metta for oneself and the loved one to really full degree, until we feel that the mind is really energetic, that the metta is spread throughout the whole body, that it's kind of locked into place, that we feel like the mind is set to sustain this feeling of metta for a reasonably long period of time. And so when we feel like that and it's flowing really nicely, then we're ready to go to doing metta for the neutral person. And when I lead these guided meditations, obviously that's not always the case. I mean, for some of you it may be, for some of you it may not be. Typically, though, it takes longer. Right? So typically it might take, you know, a half an hour to do metta for each of these stages, even if it's going well, before you're ready to go to the neutral person. But you have to find that out for yourself. And so in these guided meditations, we're really just getting a taste for it. Alright, so this is just leading you over the terrain and getting you a bit familiar with it. But in terms of actually how you're practicing, you have to learn to let the meditation and let the feeling of metta guide you as to how you proceed through the practice. If you come to that third stage of metta for the neutral person, and if your mind does drop down and the energy fades from the mind, then that's a sign. That's your mind teaching you. Ah, you're not ready for this at this point. Come back to the loved one, come back to oneself, rebuild the metta for oneself or for the loved one, whichever you find most effective, and then when you feel that it's full and powerful enough, you can try again. So, but don't push it. If it's not happening, don't worry. All it means is just keep on developing the basics. Keep on coming back. There's no harm to staying doing metta for yourself for as long as you like. There's no harm to doing metta for a loved person as long as you like. The more time that you spend developing these basics, then the easier it will be to do all of the higher stages of metta as well. So don't worry. We just try it out. In these guided meditations, all we're doing is playing around. And so don't take it too seriously. We're just playing it around as a bit of a hint as to how we can approach our meditation. In terms of the person that we choose for the neutral person, it should be somebody that we don't have any particularly strong feelings for one way or the other. Doesn't mean they have to be like absolutely 100% neutral all the time, but someone that generally speaking you don't have great like or dislike for. But it should be somebody that you know, and somebody that you know their name, not just some random that you pass on the street. Okay, so it might be somebody here in the meditation group. It might be somebody like a neighbor or somebody at work or something like that, that you know, somebody you would say hello to, have a few pleasant words or something like that, but that otherwise you're not particularly interested to sort of hang around with them and get to know them and so on. Can be a bit hard to think of someone like that, again, because that's the nature of the neutral person. The neutral person escapes unnoticed. Again, that's the point. The point is that in our minds and in our hearts, we tend to rest with developing metta for ourselves or having love for ourselves and our loved ones, and everyone else tends to escape notice. So this is something that's actually very daring. It's a very bold step to ask ourselves, is it really possible for us to love somebody like that, somebody we don't care about? Is it possible for us to love that person as much as we love our family, as much as we love ourselves? And the Buddha said, yes, it is possible. So in our meditation, we try and we keep on developing it little bit by little bit. So in terms of the practicalities of doing this, I would recommend normally I only do the third person, as I mentioned, if the mind feels full and the feeling of metta is joyful and suffused through your whole body and sustained for a reasonable period of time. And if you then feel energetic, feel like you want to proceed further, then go to the third person. Now, when you come to the third person, as I mentioned before, everything stays the same. You just bring the name of the neutral person into the words of metta. But the only thing that you change just a very, very little bit is that when you come to that neutral person, just apply yourself a little bit more to the meditation. Right? Just lift up your mind. Maybe like say the words of metta a little bit louder to yourself. And apply your mind, push forward to the meditation a little bit more. So you've already got to a, by then, you've already got to a state where your mind is reasonably peaceful, reasonably full of joy and so on. So you've already got those things there. Now your problem here is going to be something much more subtle, right? It's going to be that almost unnoticed loss of interest where the enthusiasm that you had for the meditation at the beginning sort of starts to slip and starts to fade, and before you know it, it's gone and you can't get it back. So to counteract that, you just put a little bit more push into the meditation at that stage right from the beginning. So you sort of anticipating it and apply yourself with a little bit more and try to bring up a little bit more joy, a little bit more energy at that point. Not a lot, just a little bit. Okay, so, yeah. Yeah. Well, just do your best, right? Somebody who's as close as you can get. Yeah, but you'd be better off if you really can't think of anyone who's neutral. You're better off putting them, choosing someone from the second category than the fourth. Okay, so better off choosing someone that you like, but only a little bit. Alright, and do metta for them. Rather than, because if you do somewhat metta for somebody that you dislike, then that can, you know, can inflame the hatred and can actually destroy your meditation. Whereas if you do metta for another loved person, then it's not going to do any harm. Yeah? Can't you think of like somebody you say hello to down your local shops?
I've been trying to find him for more than 10 years.
Really? Crikey. Right, right. Huh, interesting. Well, that's interesting generally, but then maybe that would be a cue for you to also maybe try developing some equanimity meditation and just make a separate practice, so leaving aside the metta. So in the metta, we're developing metta for someone that we feel neutral about, so that's one practice. But then if we do the upekkha as a Brahma Vihara, then you would pick up those different people and then develop equanimity for those different people. So you could develop equanimity for yourself, develop equanimity for someone that you love, develop equanimity for somebody that you don't really know very well, and develop equanimity for Donald Trump. And then you can see how you can test your emotions. Yeah. I'm kind of joking, of course. In one retreat, I did this, and I said, "Well, you do metta for the four kinds of people: the loved one, oneself, the loved one, the neutral one, and the husband." Because honestly, so many women were coming on this retreat and saying that they had to do metta for their husbands as the fourth person. And one of the wives was like, she's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much for that. You know, this has been amazing. This is like the first time for like two decades that I haven't hated my husband." Yeah, amazing, right? So. Being a monk can make you very cynical about marriage and things sometimes. One of the women on that retreat came to me in the interviews and she said, "Look, she gets the fact that you're kind of joking around and saying you develop metta for the husband and so on as the hated person. But she said, I just want you to know that I really love my husband and I've really got along well with him and we have a really supportive relationship." And I said, "Well, that's really nice to hear." A couple of years later, she found the photos on his phone of him cheating with another woman, and then they got divorced. So, yes, what can I say? I'm glad I'm a monk, that's all I can say. Anyway, moving on. Okay. Okay, so let's do this. Leaving the mind settled in the heart, you say to yourself the words of metta, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. Repeating those words again and again and again, evenly, steadily, firmly. Making a strong foundation for the mind. within your heart, see if you can feel that warm glow of metta. Now moving to metta for the loved person. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. Keeping the metta full and pure throughout your whole body. May they be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. Now I'm bringing in the name of that neutral person, keeping the mind just as it is, keeping the metta just as it is. May that neutral person be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. Now coming near the end of the meditation. From the neutral person back to the loved one. May the loved one be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. To oneself, may I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. And letting the words of metta go, letting the feeling of loving kindness fade away, and allowing the mind to come back to a neutral place, empty, open, and clear. Take a minute to review over the meditation, inquiring into cause and effect. What just happened? How did I use my mind? How did my mind change? What was the metta like at those three different stages? For oneself, for a loved person, for a neutral person? Did I feel it the same at each stage? Was it different? How was it different? Why was it different? How does your mind feel like now compared to how it was at the start of the meditation? And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings realize Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.